It was afternoon. Dogs dozed. Mums yawned. Juggernauts, the terrors of the main road, slumbered in lay-bys. Even the bulldozers on the new estate were napping. In my wheelchair by the window, I could tell it was a fine silence. And I'm quite a connoisseur. And then I heard her. Oh, goodness, not this early.
Now, dear, you simply must listen. Dorothy, are you switched on?
Very well, thank you, Marjorie.
There now. That's better, isn't it? I said, isn't it, Dorothy?
Yes, Marjorie, thank you.
You were unplugged again. I'm surprised you didn't notice. I think you're very silly, not getting a nice modern one. You don't need all these batteries and wires. You could get a little tiny thing that fits behind your ear, Dorothy, all on the National
Now, if
Hill.
You could just turn my wheelchair to the window.
Wouldn't you like that, dear?
Raise my cushion a little.
Well, then nobody would notice. You're hard of hearing at all,
just
they?
A little closer, please, dear, so I can smell the chrysanthemums.
There aren't any chrysanthemums. What? I threw them out this morning.
Oh, Marjorie.
Put the kettle on.
I could hear the lift again. Ah, it was Mr. Peterson. He's always first home. Slow tread. He's a hard worker and it's a long day. I could see him. A greasy sun in his pocket and under his arm a lunchbox full of smells. Oh, she's late with his tea today.
What do you think, dear?
Think, dear?
About the new hearing aid.
What hearing aid?
You don't listen to a word I say, do
well,
you?
I'm sorry, love. I'm a little hard of hearing.
Well, you must listen. It's important.
Soon after I lost my sight, it struck me that of all the portals of the body, the eyes are the most blessed. Blessed with lids, granting instant relief from the blessing of sight. The ears are not so fortunate.
Now then, you're feeling well.
Oh, so it's bad news.
Well, that remains to be seen. But we have to face up to things. Now, Mrs. Wenbridge-Jones at the... You're well, aren't you, dear?
Well, actually, Marjorie, my migraine is...
Good. Mrs. Wenbridge-Jones says that apparently this is bound to be a great shock to you, Dorothy. I'm sorry.
I think I'll have a little sleep now.
Apparently they've let the flat upstairs. What do you think of that? They'll be moving in at any time. Right over our very heads. New people, Dorothy.
Well, aren't you going to make the tea?
Oh, you can be quite infuriating at times, dear. I know you do it just to annoy me, don't you? Don't you, dear?
Oh, cocoa would be lovely, thank you.
Oh, strike a light.
I could hear them on the stairs. The twins. That almost knocked over poor Mr. Hammond. He haunts the public library, Mr. Hammond. Creeping home as usual. When was he going to get his flute out again? That was what I wanted to know. He hadn't played since his wife died, poor man.
So, I told Mrs. Wenbridge-Jones, we'll have to take action.
What, dear?
You just sit there in a world of your own, don't you? You should try to take an interest, Dorothy.
Before you jump to the conclusion that I'm a cruel person, a word of warning. Don't be misled by my sister's bossy and unfeeling manner. Underneath, she has a heart of granite. But I know my duty. I can be feeble and upset when it's expected of me. Oh, Marjorie, whatever will we do?
Ah, you did hear them.
Who are they?
That's just it. These people were recommended by... Well, you'll never guess, never.
No, dear.
The social services. Mrs. Young, next door, knows them professionally. And you know good would come of having a social worker living next door. She let it slip to Mrs. Wenbridge-Jones that these new people needed help. Needed help, Dorothy. Well, I ask you.
What, dear?
If we're going to admit new tenants to Acacia Court on the basis of need, who knows where it might end? It could be open house to the boat people next.
Well, I'm sure they'll be very nice.
If it cheers you up to think so. I'll just mix up something for the oven. I thought you'd like a nice walnut cake.
Do put your feet up first.
Well, I know how you like a nice walnut.
Well, that is very kind of you, dear, but... Both lifts were busy now. Two lifts, it's not enough for 13 floors. Everyone home soon. Home sweet honeycomb. Bedlam all around me within half an hour.
Now, why didn't you tell me we were out of walnuts? I'll have to go down to the shop.
You needn't bother.
Well, no bother, you know, I like...
But you've only just got back from work. Now, why don't you sit down and just have...
Oh, don't make such a fuss. Oh, dear, wherever did I put my shoes? Ah, there now. You'll be all right, will you?
Oh, yes, I'll hang on till you get back.
Bye-bye, then, dear.
Oh, I hate walnut cake. Never liked it even as a child. Why can't I tell her? Quick, now, Tot. It'll take her at least 5 minutes to reach the shops and be ashamed to waste them. Perhaps Mrs. Peterson has a radio on. Oh, good heavens. It's the little pianist up on the 10th floor. Claire de Lune. And I'd resign myself to David Hamilton. Ooh. Still a little heavy on the left hand. Oh, you must practice your arpeggios, my dear.
Mustn't sit near that open window, Dorothy. You'll catch your death. Tea's ready. There. Done to a turn.
Well, it smells very nice.
But we must let it cool first, mustn't
we?
Oh,
yes, yes.
But I suppose we could stretch a point and let you have a teeny slice if you wanted it.
Oh, well, dear, I...
Dear, now, I've given you a piece with lots of walnuts.
Thank you, dear.
I think you've taken it very well. When Mrs. Wenbury-Jones told me the news, the first thing I thought was, having new neighbours is bound to have upset poor Dorothy.
An old couple with a goldfish would be very nice.
Pets. Where did I put our copy of the residence code? There was a clause forbidding pets, I'm sure of it.
Oh, pigs, dear. And hens. They're forbidden. I remember it said so.
Where would want to keep deer in Acacia Court?
I've always fancied a little hamster myself.
Oh, the very idea. Working its treadmill at 4 a.m. Grinding our nerves to a powder, Dorothy. You need peace and quiet in your condition. Not people trampling over our heads at all hours. Wild parties, dancing, music. There's no telling. It's a mercy you're so hard of hearing, if you ask me.
I expect they'll be just an ordinary family.
Let's hope it never comes to that.
Oh, why, dear?
Families are nothing but trouble, Dorothy. From midnight feeds and teething to motorbikes and punk rock. It's just 15 years of bedlam.
Well, babies must cry, dear.
I know. It drives some mother to destruction. Mrs. Young told me the other day the social services are stretched to the limit. Oh, my goodness. Dorothy, Mrs. Young said they needed help. They're baby batterers.
Oh, now, don't be ridiculous. They wouldn't put problem families in Acacia Court. There'd be an outcry.
Forget it's a Labour council. If they had their way, we'd all be living in a ghetto.
Now, Marjorie...
But I shall form a residence committee at once. Confront the council before this thing has taken root. I shall speak to Mrs. Wenbury-Jones. She has influence with the mayor.
But Marjorie...
Stay calm, Dorothy. If we act now...
They could be perfectly nice people.
Do perfectly nice people strike at defenceless infants?
But we don't know anything about them.
Expecting anyone, Dorothy?
Of course not.
I must get a spy hole fitted to the door. Mrs. Huddleston Frumpton has a burglar alarm connected directly to the local constabulary.
Answer the door, Marjorie.
Why? Hello. Just the person we want to see. It's Mrs. Young from next door, dear.
Oh. Hello, ladies. The invalid's keeping well, I hope.
Well as can be expected. Last legs, you know. You're keeping well, aren't you, Dorothy?
Well, I expect it's the preservatives.
You are wonderful.
About these new people upstairs.
Yes, that's just what I wanted to see you about. I expect Mrs. Wembry-Jones told you everything.
Well, of course...
Good. I was sure you'd understand.
Why? What's wrong with them?
Why, nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. But we must all make a special effort, mustn't we? Don't you agree, Miss Marjorie?
Oh, yes, of course.
You'll like them. They're lovely people, I promise you. Especially the little one. Poor little darling.
I told you.
But I know I can count on you to make them feel at home here. So important in a case like this, isn't it? Well, I must dash. Bye!
In a case like this, she said. In a case...
I heard.
I knew it. And just when you were beginning to feel at home
now,
here...
Do sit down, dear.
It's been our story all along. Hounded from pillar to post.
Marjorie, give me your hand. Why are you shaking?
I can't help worrying about you, that's all. I never thought we'd have to face another move, not in your condition.
No, we're not moving again.
We must face facts. I shall fight, I promise you. But we must be prepared for the worst. I shall go to the estate agents in the morning.
No, Marjorie, I am not going to move again.
You need peace and quiet, dear. You're not well.
But we are perfectly happy here.
But for how long, dear? Is there anything I can get you before I go?
No, thank you.
Sure you're all right there in the sun?
Yeah, quite sure, dear. Have a nice day at work.
I'm certainly due for one after 30 years. Goodbye, then.
I can feel my ears burning. Must be talking about me. Now, where would they do that? In heaven, where else? Now I'm blushing. Must be the sun, it's warming my cheek. Mr. Peterson, right on time as usual. Quick step mornings, but slower home. Not what you'd expect. Lunchbox packed with butties. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, and jam. Lots and lots of jam. Now, why is it that man's never on strike? Perhaps he lacks class consciousness. Oh, Dorothy, the sunshine. Now, what are you going to do about the sunshine? You know it makes you sleepy. You should move. One of us is already moving. I only feel it for an hour or so. Passes in a narrow beam over my face, my lap, my knees. I enjoy the strangest sensations. It's like the planet enjoying the passage of the seasons. It's summer and winter at once on different parts of my person. In an hour's time, barring clouds, the sun will be at my feet. They alone will be all aglow. Frost will fall on my head while my bunions burn. Oh, milk's late this morning. Poor man, heaving those crates around all day. One for Mr. Hammond. 2 pints. Thank you. Now, Mrs. Young is an unknown quantity. Some days he strides right past her. And on others, he piles up yogurt and cream and orange juice. You'd swear he was assailing a virtue. Ten floors. Poor man. 3 pints for Mrs. Peterson, and then down the far end... No, good heavens, he stopped right overhead. He's calling on the empty flat upstairs. That man knows something. Warm day, July. Milk won't stay fresh. They must be moving in today. Now, Dorothy, you must not slack for a moment. They could come at any time. Oh, what a day this is going to be. Pray God my battery's lost.
Oh, hi, dear. What time is it? Who is it?
It's me, dear.
Oh, they're nice, isn't it, Mrs. Young? You're not in any hurry?
No, not at all, dear.
It's time I had some exercise, I suppose.
Oh. Wasn't it locked, dear? You know Marjorie likes you to keep it bolted.
Yes, I wish to God she'd stop treating me like Fort Knox.
Well, she's only trying to keep you nice and safe.
She is afraid I might make off to the betting shop with the milk money.
Oh, I do admire you, Miss Dorothy. We're so cheerful.
Oh, what can I do for you, Mrs. Young?
I just wondered if I can get you anything from the shops.
Oh, that's very kind, but we have plenty of spare rounds for the shotgun, thank you. Oh, just one thing, though. My sister's a bit worried about our new neighbours.
Oh, no need, dear. Just as long as we treat people on their merits. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Splendid. Now, a moustache. Lovely day, isn't it?
Oh, so I hear, yes. So I hear.
Good heavens. Listen to them, it's the twins. Must be lunchtime. You fell asleep. And this of all days, they could have moved in and you'd have slept right through it. Now then, is anyone there?
Oh, Mrs. Peterson's home, but no one about.
I bet on it. Well, that's a relief. I shall concentrate from now on, I promise you. But 3 o'clock came and no one moved in. If a mouse had farted, I'd have heard it. Yes, I can use language for an old woman. That surprised you. If a mouse had farted, I'd have known. But the day was not without interest. Mr. Hammond didn't crawl off to the library. No, he took down his flute the first time since his wife died. It was a great relief. I've been worrying about him, wasting away, doing nothing. It's not healthy. Oh, you say, now what do I do that makes me any different? Well, I get up to all sorts of things, I can tell you. I've developed a sixth sense since I lost my sight. I know things. I could tell when Mrs. Peterson was pregnant from her footsteps, even before she knew herself. And when the man underneath contracted cancer, his voice gave him away, but only to me. Maybe I'm an old witch. That's what Marjorie would say. But perhaps I've just got better at listening. What? 3:30. I feared as much they'll all be home soon. Oh, this'll be... No. This isn't Mr. Peterson. It's a stranger. Looking for someone. It's a man with a limp. No, I see it in my mind's eye. He's carrying a heavy bag. A bag full of instruments. I know why he's here. I know. His business here is death. What did I bolt the door after Mrs. Young called? Think. Oh, what a silly old fool I am. What? He's gone to Mrs. Young's. Oh, pray God she doesn't answer. Oh, ring the police. What would I say? Maybe it's only a friend of Mrs. Young's. Oh, silly old fool, away, make a pot of tea. Hang on!
I'm coming, Mrs. Young. I'm coming. Just wait. Oh, I'm trembling all over. What shall I do? Make a citizen's arrest for my wheelchair? No. Phone. Quickly. Oh, God. Where is it? Oh, now. Now. Marjorie told you what to do, remember? First and second fingers into the last two holes. There, now. The receiver. Now, bring the index round. Nine. Oh, please, hurry. Hurry. Poor Mrs. Young.
Emergency. Which service do you require?
No, just one moment here. Oh, thank you, dear. I don't think I should be needing your services after all. Well, now, there's something to think about, Dot. They're here. Two of them. It's a man and a woman. But a tiny woman, light. Her feet hardly seem able to reach the ground. How strange. Is it a poem? Oh, I know what it is. Amen.
I'm sorry. They're quite the most horrible I've ever seen. Vulgar. We've got to do something. I know. We're out of sugar.
But you bought some only yesterday.
I'll call on them to borrow some sugar and get a look at them.
What is to stop you just going upstairs and saying hello and that we hope they'll be very happy here?
Oh, nothing at all, except that we want them out as soon as possible.
Now, Marjorie, you promised me that you'd give them a fair chance.
I told you, Dorothy, you can't have been listening. They're bright green with livid red spots.
Curtains aren't everything, dear. You promised.
Oh, very well. To please you.
After all, we must try and get on with them.
Well, all right. I'm sure I don't want the trouble of another move. Pillar to post it's been. It was just the same at Tunbridge Wells, just when I was beginning to get on top of the garden. And we just had our first invitation to Bridget the Grange.
And you'd been working at it for months.
And they built a housing estate right opposite us. It's been persecution all along.
We should have stayed, and I said so at the time.
You need peace and quiet, dear. I was heartbroken, I'm sure. The move nearly killed me. But your health must come first. And I thought it was worth it when I saw the new cottage after months of searching. I thought we'd really found it. Our dream home for the rest of our days. And right next to that lovely old chapel. The first few weeks were the happiest of my life.
Oh, we weren't to know they were converting it into a youth club.
We got out just in time. The street wouldn't have been safe. Muggers, vandals, drugs, motorbikes at all hours.
It was only the young conservatives, dear.
Pillar to post. Wherever did I put the aspirins?
You know, sometimes I wish I had married. Then you would have been free.
No man could care for you like a sister, Dorothy.
No, indeed.
And there was never anyone worthy of
you. Oh, Captain Roberts wasn't so bad.
Captain Roberts. He drove us from the Isle of Wight with his disgusting attentions, that's all.
He was very fond of me.
I couldn't stand by and see you made a fool of, Dorothy. I'm sorry, but you're very innocent in these matters.
More's the pity.
I was quite heartbroken at having to leave the view of the pines, but I knew my duty, even if you didn't. Mm.
And you promised to follow me to the farthest shore.
We only moved to Maidenhead, dear. Mm.
He promised to wheel me down the aisle. To deck my wheelchair in white lace, me. And leave you free to live your own life at last. But you soon put a stop to that, didn't you, dear?
Getting married in your condition.
Well, he would have looked after me. He said he would lash my wheelchair to the bows in doubtful weather.
What nonsense. You need constant care and attention, Dorothy, not gallivanting.
I don't.
It's so quiet.
Perhaps they've altered the flight path.
Upstairs, I mean. Quiet as mice. It's not natural, if you ask me. The calm before the storm.
But the people upstairs kept very quiet. Marjorie was relieved at first and then increasingly indignant as if a trick had been played on her. But nothing happened for a week. The man went out very early every morning and didn't return till after dark. Marjorie hovered by the lace curtains but didn't catch so much as a glimpse of him. And the little girl, if it was a little girl, stayed home all by herself all the long summer day. I grew quite worried about her. Surely it's against the law. Marjorie'd be on to the police in a flash if she knew, but of course I said nothing. And then, one morning, I heard a sound from the floor above. Now, why does she play ball in our room instead of outside with all the other children? But over the days, she grew less timid. Or rather, her little rubber ball grew less timid. She just followed where it led. Oh, careful of the stairs, my dear. Children have such soft bones, old people's are brittle. Oh, I suppose there's a day or two when they come up to scratch. Goodness me, she's becoming quite naughty. Next thing, she'll be right outside my door. Pick the pick-a-ninny. Monsters children are. She really should be playing with the other little children outside. That'll spoil her fun. Hey, come on, Doc, before she gets into trouble. Yeah. Now then, just the latch.
Hello.
I'm very pleased to make your acquaintance.
I'm awfully sorry. I didn't see the door opening. I didn't know anyone was home.
Well, don't stand in the doorway, child. You're making a draught.
Is anything broken?
How did it sound to you?
Like something got broken.
And that's how it sounded to me.
Please don't tell my dad. I'll pay you back out of my pocket money. Please. What was it?
Well, I'll come and have a look.
Oh, dear. Is it very precious?
Well, what is it?
Can't you see?
Happily, no. No, I'm resting my eyes today.
It's a fish, with rainbow bits all over it. Looks very precious.
Oh, yes, to Marjorie. Well, if you sweep up the pieces for me, we'll forget all about it. You'll find a dustpan and brush under the sink. It's through there.
I'll get it.
Now, tell me, why aren't you down in the playground? There's swings and fights and lots of mud. Everything a child could want.
Dad says no one's got to know I'm here, or they'll take me away.
Oh, but I know, don't I?
You won't tell, will you?
It'll be our secret.
I've got to go now.
Oh, no, won't you tell me your name? Well, well, well. So much to reflect upon. We must count our blessings. What does she look like, I wonder? Does her father dress her properly? Oh, she needs a mother's hand. A mother wouldn't let her go about breaking other people's china. Oh, there's much to be grateful for.
Dorothy? Dorothy, have you moved my angelfish?
Oh, no, dear, of course not.
Well, it's not here. You must have.
Why would I do that?
Well, you do a lot of things just to annoy me. But I agree that hiding the china fish would be devious, even for you. Mother gave it to me just before she died. In her way, I think she was thanking me for looking after her all those years.
It was only cheap rubbish, Uncle Ernest won it at a fair.
It had sentimental value. They were difficult years.
For Mother?
I couldn't bear to see her put in a home. Not while I still drew breath.
No, of course not, dear. And you weren't to know she'd pant on another 20 years.
That's no way to speak of the woman that brought you into the world.
No. No, it wasn't really her fault.
I was heartbroken when she died.
But it left you free to live your own life at last. A terrifying prospect, wasn't it, dear?
I didn't know where to turn.
It's unfortunate I fell ill soon after.
I'm sorry to have to say that some of the things you come out with don't seem altogether sane, dear. I couldn't see you put into a home. I have no life of my own outside the choir and the flower arranging group. But I hope I'm not bitter about it.
Oh, no, dear.
Well, I don't do it for thanks. But I do think some people could be a bit grateful occasionally. And not disconnect their hearing aid whenever it suits them. But I suppose we must make allowances. Blood is thicker than water. And you always were a little mad. Mother always said so. Mad. He was a child.
To have a loving sister is a great comfort. And to have a hearing aid with a loose connection is also a great comfort. Once I asked Marjorie to get me a hearing aid with an adjustable volume control, but she saw through that one. But next morning, as soon as Marjorie was gone, I made quite sure my little machine was in full working order. Even so, I was hardly prepared for what was to occur. You'd hardly believe it, but Mrs. Young received a visit from her mysterious stranger. Again. Has Mrs. Young taken a lover, I asked myself? Well, he must be a strange lover. And rather a fast worker, though I'm no expert on such matters. Oh, so many mysteries. I was growing quite fond of them. But the day's excitement had hardly begun. Oh, come in, child. It's not locked. Oh, thank you. Oh, well, do give it to me, dear.
It's makeup for the other one.
Oh.
Can you tell what it is?
Feels very heavy.
It's brass. The dancer. She has lots of arms. That's because she's very powerful.
Oh, well, well, well. Oh, this is a much nicer present than the silly fish that got broken, I can tell. Oh, I am glad you came to see me. Would you like a piece of cake?
It depends.
Oh, does it now?
Is it a fruit cake?
Well, I suspect it may contain cherries.
Oh, that's all right, then.
That will be all right, will it? Good. There's a special tin in a special cupboard, and I shall tell you how to find it, and then you must sit down and tell me all about yourself. I'm very curious about my new neighbours. You've been so quiet up there. Oh, what's the matter, dear? Are you frightened of me?
You won't tell my dad.
Oh, no, not if you say so. Now, you come here and sit down beside me. Oh, what's the matter? Oh, do my eyes scare you?
A bit.
Now, on the mantelpiece, behind the letter rack, you'll find a pair of dark glasses. Hand them to me, will you?
Here you are.
Ah, thank you. Now then, are you good at making tea?
Not very.
Good. I shall teach you. And so, for the first time in years, I entertained. She didn't like my tea much. Perhaps it was too strong for her. But the cherry cake met with instant approval. I made plans for the future.
Aspirins, bin liners, anything else?
Buy some orange squash, will you, dear?
Orange squash? Have you taken leave of your senses?
Oh, why do you ask?
You've never liked oranges, never.
Well, not so bad, diluted. Just one bottle.
Then you were always faddy, weren't you, dear?
Yes. And if you should happen to see a bottle of lemonade?
Are you tired of my tea?
No, not at all, dear. I just thought I'd like a little change.
It's your time of life. It's me who'll have to live with your stomach, remember. Now settle down and forget all this foolishness.
I would like you to buy some orangeade, some lemonade, and some cola all the same, dear. Just to please me, eh?
Oh, if we're going to adopt that tone. I always told Mother no good would come of pampering you. I'm glad she's not here to see it, that's all.
So cola and orange and lemonade were brought back from the shops with much complaint, and accompanied by more cherry cake. My little afternoon teas became a regular fixture, but I didn't dare tell Marjorie. There was one big problem. How was I to account for the sudden high consumption of soft drinks?
More tea, Dorothy?
I'll have a nice glass of cola, if you don't mind.
Very well. Goodness, you've got through a whole bottle of that fizzy muck. With insides like yours, it's tempting providence. But you won't be told. Here you are.
Ah, thank you.
You know, you don't look at all well.
It's really not so bad when you get used to it.
I think you need a change, dear. A nice little flat has come up overlooking the golf course. I'm sure you'd like it.
But there's really no need to move.
There's something very suspicious about these people upstairs. They've been here 2 weeks and no one so much as seen them. He sneaks off down the stairs and never uses the lift. Even the milkman's never seen him. He says they leave a check for him in an envelope. They've obviously got something to hide. I've never known a couple like it. You're very quiet, Dorothy.
Yes, dear. Huh. More egg, my dear?
Yes, please.
But now, don't you think your father would be pleased if he knew you were down here looking after me instead of being upstairs on your own all day?
I don't know.
See, I'm sure he worries about you. I think we'll ask him. And then you could bring all your books and games down here with you. Would you like that?
Yes.
Then I shall write him a little note and ask him to tea on Saturday. I'll ask him then.
Who's that playing?
Oh, that's Mr. Hammond and his flute next door. Mrs. Young's on one side and Mr. Hammond on the other. He used to play all the time. And his wife used to play the accordion before she died.
It's nice.
Yes, he plays well, doesn't he? And there's a little girl up on the 10th floor who plays the piano. Sometimes they play at the same time, but never the same tune. Isn't that a pity?
My daddy likes music.
Uh-huh.
He used to play a lot, too.
Really? Oh, you haven't heard him down here.
He's given it up. He says the walls here are too thin.
Oh, that's such a pity. I'm sure no one would mind. I shall tell him so on Saturday.
I've finished my tea. Are you ready?
Yes.
Right. Chapter 36. At long last, Pinocchio stops being a puppet and becomes a boy. It's lovely and sunny outside.
Oh. Well, then, why don't you run along? We'll finish Pinocchio tomorrow.
Don't you ever go out?
Oh, Marjorie sometimes wheels me down to the off-license at weekends. There was a time when expeditions were made to ponds and breadcrumbs were thrown at ducks, but it passed. Well, my wheelchair isn't as young as it used to be.
It looks all right. I'll take you out.
Oh, I couldn't possibly let you do that.
Why not?
You have to have a special license before you can push one of these things around the streets. You know, like a driving license.
Oh. You're making it up. Oh, there's a little brown one here that isn't getting any breadcrumbs at all. Here, little one, here. The others keep beating her to it. It's not fair.
Ah, but she keeps trying, doesn't she?
Yes.
So she's a brave little duck.
I don't think she's brave. I think she's stupid. It's not fair.
Well, a pond isn't a fair place, my dear. Oh, let's go and sit under the chestnut tree out of this sun.
Where?
Why, it's just behind us.
And remember, it's a fine tree. Its conkers are much sought after. I can hear the wind rustling its leaves from here.
I can't see any tree. There's a big stump over there, though.
No, I can hear it.
There isn't any tree, honest.
Take me to it. Now, I insist.
Oh. There. Can you feel it? It's just a stump.
But I can sense it. It's all spreading. But go slim on the amputation.
I'm sorry. They cut it down.
Yes, dear. But we'll sit here together in the shade.
I'm home, dear. Dorothy? Are you in the bathroom, dear? Dorothy? Oh, my God!
Man's work, I'm afraid it's happened before. Needs a spanner.
But my dad will be home soon. He'll wonder where I am.
Dorothy, are you all right? Oh. What on earth are you doing out here? Oh, my God. What do you mean by abducting my sister?
And Marjorie, this young lady is a very good friend of mine.
No, she is not, Dorothy. You're quite mistaken. Look at you. You're shivering. You don't even have a rug with you. You wicked little girl. What have you done with my sister?
We only went to feed the ducks and sit in the sun. I didn't mean to...
That's quite enough. Now, off with you.
My dear, don't worry. You've done nothing wrong at all. You just run along for now.
Now, let me free your wheelchair. As if a child of that age could cope with a lumbering old thing like this. I'm surprised she managed to get you down in one piece.
I am quite capable of wheeling myself. My arms are in perfect working order. All I cannot do is see.
That's all too clear, Dorothy.
Well, what on earth do you mean?
You weren't to know, I suppose. Her English was very good. Of course, she never told you. Willfully deceived you, I'll be bound. Thank God I kept the silver locked up. And your post office book. Taking advantage of your innocence like that.
She is a very nice little girl, and I'm sure her father is very nice too, and we shall all be great friends.
I think you'd better prepare yourself for a shock, Dorothy. Don't say I didn't warn you. God knows I've tried to protect you, but for all the things...
What do you mean?
They're niggers, Dorothy. These people upstairs, your precious friends, are niggers. God, we got you home at last.
And really, Marjorie, was it necessary to call the RAC?
But the man had spanners, didn't he?
A breakdown lorry with lights flashing just to fix my wheelchair. You made a public spectacle of me.
Me? It wasn't my idea to go gallivanting, remember? Now then, wait there a second. I'll be back in a moment.
Well, where are you going?
Never mind, you just stay there.
Now, Marjorie...
So glad to make your acquaintance.
Patel. Jayesh Patel. Very pleased to meet you, Mrs.
Miss Sultan, we have the flat underneath, my sister and I. It seems that your little girl has befriended my sister Dorothy.
Oh, no. I beg your pardon. That is not possible, truly.
It is very possible, I do assure you, as a Christian.
Excuse me. Sona? So there you are. Bol beti, tu aaj kahin bahar gayi thi?
Haan bapu ji.
Mana kari thi to bhi na samjhi hu. Tere maro maniyo nahi.
Haan bapu ji.
Ja, tara room ma chali ja. Main tare sath bahut na baat chu. Madam, I promise you, my daughter will be punished most severely.
Oh, yes. Spare the rod, of course.
Excuse me?
Well, they do need a strong hand, don't they? Are you settling in all right?
Yes, thank you.
If there's anything we can do, don't hesitate to ask.
You are very kind.
Not at all.
We are just the two of us, Sona and I. Please do not alarm yourself.
Oh, no offence, I do assure you. We're not prejudiced. All the same under the skin, after all.
Indeed. And now, if you'll excuse me.
Though I can't speak for my sister. That's really why I popped up, you see. Britain was still an empire when she was a girl. She gets funny ideas, you see.
Oh?
She sees gollywogs all over the Strand, all over the Esplanade, in the tea rooms, everywhere. It's just the nightmare she has. Of course, I tell her it's just Little Black Sambo she read as a child. But she does worry so. And when I saw your little
yes,
girl...
Yes, I shall see to it that Sona doesn't bother your sister again. But now, if you'll excuse me...
Dear me.
What did you say? I have a right to know.
I've got rights too, you know, carrying on behind my back. I know you weren't to know that they're niggers.
They are Asians from India. Niggers, as you call them, are of African descent.
Well, I don't see that it makes a halfpenny's worth of... You mean to say you knew?
Of course I knew. Do you take me for a complete idiot?
You had her down here in my very own living room, and you knew all along. Oh, Dorothy, this is treachery.
Nonsense.
I dare say there's nothing wrong with them as people, and the little girl was... Well, it's a shame they have to grow up, isn't it? But did you ask yourself about the consequences? What would Mrs. Wenbury Jones say if she got to hear of it? God forbid. Or Mrs. Huddleston...
It is none of their business.
But they're conservation-minded, aren't they? Remember the fuss they made when the council wanted to pull down the old slaughterhouse. They won't stand idly by and see you turning Acacia Court into a ghetto.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. If you could only hear yourself.
The value of these properties will plummet.
They are people, Marjorie.
People are one thing, Dorothy, and property is another. You're old enough to know that. A residence association is the answer. I said as much to Mrs. Wenbury Jones only the other day. It was obvious from the start there was something wrong with them. If only we'd acted sooner, this situation would never...
Quiet! Marjorie, listen. Oh, now you've made him punish her. Look what you've done to the poor child. I shall tell her I'm quite ashamed of you.
I don't think you'll be seeing her again, dear. After all, we don't want to encourage them, do we? I'm only thinking of you, Dorothy. You need peace and quiet. It's my duty to see that you get it.
You have stopped her from coming to see me. Is that what you're saying?
We don't want to encourage them, do we? Dorothy, I'm only thinking of you. Now, I'm just going to go and put the oven on, even if you have been naughty. I'm going to make you a nice walnut cake, and soon we'll be the best of friends again, won't we? Forgive and forget, hmm?
દોરાથી માટે પાછી ના જશે મને વચન જોઈએ છે
I will not tolerate such displays of temper. I think you've broken it. And look, you've made your ear bleed. Dorothy, where's that going to get you, eh? So that's our little game, is it? Pretending we can't hear again. Well, that's fine by me. You just carry on if it gives you pleasure. I'm sure I'm not the one to stop you. Well, I'm off now. You're quite comfy there. Cushion not too high for you. Good. Now, you sit there and have a nice day in the sun. You sure you don't want the radio? I'm calling in the High Street, so I'll get the man to have a look at your hearing aid. Goodbye then, dear.
Oh, if only I could have kept it up. She was cracking. But I've never been a match for Marjorie. That guerrilla warfare over the China teacup, she's unbeatable. So I enjoyed her a little victory, but I didn't kid myself I could ever win the whole campaign. But I smiled as I settled down to listen to the hours pass. There'd be no visits from poor Sona today. Upstairs, even the sound of her footsteps was denied me. It was as if she'd ceased to exist. Oh, there was a long day ahead of me. My one regret, well, now, a regret of mine, is never seeing the croc's face. Of all faces, never reproachful. It's always a comfort to know that time passes. To my ears, you see, it just ticks busily, like a fussy little government clerk tapping his pencil against his teeth. Tick, tick, tick. Much too busy to stop and pass the time of day with the likes of me. But today, without my hearing aid, even that little irritation was denied me. I felt quite lost without it. So I pinned back my ears a little anxiously to look out for the vital landmarks of my day. Without them, I'd be all at sea. Well, the milkman won't be long now. Soon I shall hear his cheerful whistle, like jolly, tuneless noise always gets on my nerves. That'll keep me going for an hour or two. I shall stay right on my toes till then. What? No whistle? Why is he neglecting his duties today of all days? He should realize the sanity of old women may depend on it. Or perhaps he's shaken by some personal tragedy. Or maybe some other milkman called in to deputize and they didn't explain his duties to him fully. His responsibilities. So quiet. As though I were at the bottom of a well. Why have I heard no planes, no jets today? Usually they thunder all round me. You'd swear my wheelchair was parked between runways. But today, nothing. So quiet. It's as if I were being smothered in cotton wool. Oh, but of course there's no need to worry. I can always hear the lorries on the hog's back. On the quietest day, I've only got to open the window and the din will drive me out of my mind in no time. I'll open the window. You can always hear the juggernauts on the hog's back. I've often noticed that. Now, the catch, it's always a bit stiff. And up you go. Must be a very still day. Why don't I feel the wind on my face? Never mind, listen. It's strange. Not so much as a crashed gear. Not a breath of air, not a sound. What is happening to me? Oh, I know. What if I were to clap my hands? That'd prove something. Yes. Now, up they go. Ready? How heavy they seem. Lead weights within seconds. I'm getting feeble. Now, one, two, three. Perhaps they missed one another en route. Again. One, two, three. Why? My palms are ringing, but not a sound. I'd bank on it. Oh, again. No. No, I shall be a mass of bruises. What's happening to me? I'm as silent as the grave. Perhaps I've already died. Lying in my coffin. The undertaker's
hammer will be the last sound I hear. It'll go on ringing in my ears until I'm buried.
Now, that is a nice bit of carpentry, though I say it myself. You don't see mahogany like that every day.
Captain Roberts.
Shame to give it to the worms, really.
Captain Roberts, it's me.
Good heavens, it's Dorothy. My dear, what are you doing here? A fine bit of timber, this, don't you think? I say, Dorothy, old girl, this isn't for you, is it?
No. No, I'm not ready. There's something I must do. What's that?
Dorothy? Are you all right in there?
Oh, what happens? I must have dropped off. Dorothy, you were dead to the world. It's all right, Mrs. Young. It's not bolted.
Oh, there you are, Dorothy. I was quite worried when you didn't answer. Hope I didn't alarm you.
Oh, no, not at all, Mrs. Young. You just caught me another second. I should have been off and away.
Keeping cheerful, I see. Marjorie asked me to look in, see if you were all right.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
If there's anything you want.
Yes, well, now, I wonder if you could find my old ear trumpet for me. Yes. It's in the cupboard somewhere, I think.
Of course. A pleasure. This is.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Oh, yes, much, thank you.
Anything else I can do, don't hesitate to ask.
Yes, now, well, I hope you'll forgive my curiosity.
Yes, of course.
I think you've been having visits from a man with a heavy bag.
However did you know that?
And he performs some professional service for you which alarms you. A cry escapes your lips, you jump onto a chair.
Why, yes, that's right. Yes.
Now, I've given this strange little sequence of events much thought, and now, please, pardon the interference of a silly old woman, Mrs.
Not
Young.
Not at all, my dear. Go
but
on.
I've been wanting to ask you, would I be right in supposing this gentleman is the corporation rat catcher?
Oh, how very clever of you. And I've been trying to keep it a secret.
And he gives you something to put down for the little fellows, does he?
That's right.
And then he comes back and finds them all curled up with their little feet in the air.
Yes.
And takes them away for you.
Now, Dorothy, this is all very clever of you, but you must promise not to breathe a word to a living soul. Especially Marjorie. You know what people round here are like.
Oh, indeed I do. I promise you I shall be as silent as the grave.
Good.
And thank you so much for calling, Mrs. Young.
Not at all. Bye then, dear.
Goodbye. Wait a moment. There's something I must do. Oh, yes, of course, I remember I was dreaming. But it's true, there is something I must do. While there's still time. Rat poison. Useful in cases of infestation, unwanted cohabitants. And of course, someone has to remove the bodies. Awkward things, bodies. Dot, what are you thinking of? You couldn't possibly be a life member of the Church Women's Guild. Yes, but only an honorary member. Rat poison. But the sister who's cared for you all these years, sacrificed herself, given everything for you. Oh, yes, keep talking. You're persuading me. Wonder if it's a painful death that you so dislike unnecessary suffering. Well, what about necessary suffering? They put you in prison, Dot. Deprive you of your freedom. My freedom. Oh, they could handcuff me to my wheelchair. No, this is madness, Dorothy. There must be an easier way to get Marjorie out of this flat. There must be.
What's this?
Hmm? Further to our telephone conversation, I have made an appointment for you to view the above property at 3 p.m. on Saturday. What property? What conversation, Dorothy?
Oh, it's overlooking the golf course, just like you wanted, dear. Lovely little flat, for one. I thought you'd like to see it, so I made an appointment for you this afternoon.
For me? A flat for one? Are you planning a walking tour, Dorothy?
No, I'm staying here.
You can't possibly live here on your own. I've never heard anything so ridiculous.
I've made up my mind. I shall get a nurse to visit me every day, and Mrs. Young will organise a home help 2 or 3 times a week. Well, you forget, I've got a little money tucked away. I shall be fine.
No, I can't possibly allow it. I couldn't shrug off my responsibilities just like that.
I am relieving you of them, Marjorie. And do you understand?
I don't care to be relieved, thank you. There's such a thing as duty, you know. I could never live with myself afterwards.
I've never been able to live with yourself either, but that's never saved me. Marjorie, I have borne it for years and years, but enough is enough. I will not have you sacrificing yourself for me any longer, and that's final.
So this is what happens when you get involved with immigrants, is it? Don't think I don't know. That's what's behind all this, isn't it? I wouldn't be at all surprised if they'd put you up to this.
If I can't entertain my own friends in my own flat, then there's something wrong, Marjorie.
I see.
This flat happens to be in my name, and if necessary, I can have you removed. But we wouldn't want it to come to that, now would we?
So this is the thanks I get. Stabbed in the back and shown the door.
No, of course not, dear, but... You will go and have a look at the flat now, won't you? It sounds very nice. And Marjorie really did go out that afternoon. I was quite delighted. I'd never really seen myself as one of the great poisoners. To embark on a life of crime at my age without so much as a parking fine behind me would have been out of character. So when 3 o'clock approached and Marjorie marched out of the flat, I was quite overcome with relief. But I was congratulating myself too soon. Oh, back already, dear. Well, what did you think of the flat?
I didn't go.
Oh, where have you been, then?
I went to see Dr. Radcliffe.
Oh, haven't you been feeling well, dear?
My migraine has been insufferable lately, but that wasn't why I went. I was worried about you, dear.
But me? Well, I do miss my hearing aid, rather, but apart from that, I've never felt better.
And that's what worries me. All this talk about living by yourself. Dr. Radcliffe thinks you may be losing touch with reality.
Does he?
But then we've always seen eye to eye, Dr. Radcliffe and me. We've become very good friends over the years.
Get to the point, Marjorie.
He was most upset when I told him of your outburst the other day. Of course, I said I'm sure you'd change your mind.
Oh, really?
And he said he was sure it was just a passing phase and not to worry. You may think you want me to go, but you don't really. It's not in your best interests. Dr. Radcliffe quite agrees with me that you couldn't possibly survive without my care and attention. It would be an act of pure folly to allow it. Why... You'd have to be not in your right mind to suggest such a thing.
Not in my right mind?
Well, I think that's what he said. So, of course, he won't hear of it.
Oh, he won't hear of it.
Happens all the time, he said. He often has to sign papers when people show they're not responsible. Well, doesn't like doing it, naturally. But if people show they're not responsible for their actions, then others have to take over that responsibility, don't they? Of course, I assured him it was just a little whim on your part. We wouldn't need papers or anything like that. I was sure you'd be your old self in no time. So there's nothing to worry about, is there? Is there, Dorothy?
Did you hear that?
What?
But listen, listen. Yes, there it is again.
What? I can't hear anything.
It's a little scratching noise. I heard it this afternoon. I think we might have mice, Marjorie. Or worse.
Oh, the very idea. It's all in your imagination. I'll get your hearing aid mended right away. I'll take it in as soon as the shop opens on Monday. All right? Your mind is beginning to wander.
No, no, really, Marjorie, it's rats. I'm sure we've got rats.
It's me, dear.
Oh, do come in, Mrs. Young. It's not bolted.
Hello. Marjorie said you wanted to see me.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Young. It was something you said the other day about rat poison. You see, we seem to have a little infestation of our own.
Really? Well, I'll ask the man to call next time.
Oh, there's no need for that, dear, no. If you'd just give me a teeny bit of the poison.
Yes, of course. I've still got nearly a whole jar left. Will that be enough?
Oh, yes, yes, quite enough.
How many, pests are there?
Just the one.
I'll go and get it for you now. Here you are. And there's a pair of tongs to pick them up with, only I don't have the courage.
Oh, I don't think I'll be needing those. Thank you very much.
Well, hope you catch him. Bye.
Bye. Oh, what a curious smell. It's rather like black currants. Oh, who would have thought rat poison could have smelt like black currants? And what an interesting coincidence. Now, I must plan my campaign. This is Marjorie's quiet night, so there's plenty of time. Oh, hello, dear.
Hello, dear. Still up, then?
Did you have a nice choir practice?
I'm quite worn out. The canticles are slipping again, but he won't be told. Now let's have a nice bedtime drink and be off to sleep. Good heavens!
What is it, dear?
What are all these bits of food doing on the floor? Oh, something's had the cornflakes. The corn has been chewed.
Ah, yes, I heard them when you were out.
Who?
The rats.
Rats? Oh, I don't believe it. How?
But I've been telling you, Marjorie, if only you'd listen. But don't worry, I've got something for them. Mrs. Young gave it to me. It's there at the front of the cupboard. A little jar there. I think Mrs. Young said it had a skull and crossbones on it. Isn't it exciting?
Ugh. Rat poison. How dreadful. Oh, I don't think I feel like drinking anything after that. It's quite turned my stomach.
Well, it's all right, Marjorie. I'll get the drinks. You sit down.
What a mess.
Oh, that's all right. I'll clear it up. I'm quite capable, remember?
Very well, dear. Thank you. Hot milk would be nice.
Do you like a little something in it?
Yes, some cinnamon.
Oh, you used to like a spoonful of Ribena in it as a girl.
So I did. Fancy you remembering that. All right, dear, I'll try it. I must say, Dorothy, it's nice to see you, your old self, making a
contribution. Well, I always used to be quite handy in the kitchen, as long as I know where to find things. And indeed I did. Mrs. Young's jar was right at the front of the cupboard, and its shape was quite unmistakable. I was a little worried about the taste, but I needn't have worried. Not too much black currant, I hope, dear.
No, dear, it's just right. I'd forgotten how nice it was.
The next morning, I put the other half of my plan into action.
Another Georgette hair, dear?
No, I think I'd like a change.
Well, I'm not bringing you any more Henry Miller. I don't like reading that kind of thing out loud.
No. Lives of the Great Poisoners. I believe it's very good.
But you never liked thrillers, Dorothy.
Oh, it's not a thriller, dear. No, it's non-fiction about some of the most famous murderers by poison.
Why on earth do you want to read that? Dr. Radcliffe is going to think very poorly of this.
If it's not in stock, you could ask them to order it for me.
They only do that for serious students.
Well, tell them I'm a serious student, then.
Tell them I'm doing research. Preliminary research.
Whatever you say, dear.
I was growing quite agile in the kitchen, spearing packets of food with knitting needles. Nibbling packets was more of a problem, my dentures lacking somewhat in leverage, but with a pair of pliers and a fork, I was able to make what felt like a passable imitation of rodent's teeth. Perhaps I got a bit carried away, but I was beginning to enjoy myself.
Oh, good heavens, did you ever see the like? They've chewed right through my knitting pattern.
Oh, which one, dear?
The bed socks I was knitting for you, dear. The ones you say you won't wear.
I must have been very hungry.
I can't think how. Just look at the food on this floor.
Well, never mind. You'll be able to use the wool for something else now, won't you?
But I don't understand it. You've been putting that stuff down for days now. You've used up half a jar. There's not so much as a single body.
Well, the effects are cumulative, I believe. I expect there'll be a body very soon. Would you like to read me my book, dear?
Which one, dear?
The new one. Oh, what's it called? Arsenic Among the Aspidistras. And then I'll get your bedtime drink. I expect you're wondering what on earth I was up to. Surely I was giving the game away. And you're quite right. I was dropping hints right and left. Well, I didn't want to kill Marjorie. Well, not really. What I was putting into her bedtime milk every night came out of a jar labelled rat poison. But rat poison it certainly was not. It was, in fact, Aunt Mabel's blackcurrant cordial. This I put into the rat poison jar the moment Mrs. Young had given it to me, washing it out very carefully first, of course. And the real rat poison I'd put into Aunt Mabel's old jar and hidden it at the back of the cupboard again, out of harm's way. But Marjorie wouldn't know that. She'd think she was being poisoned. And the moment she realised that, I was sure I wouldn't see her for dust. She'd be much too frightened of scandal to tell anybody about it. Certainly not the police or Dr. Radcliffe. And she'd instantly change her mind about the flat near the golf course, and all would be well. But one thing was beginning to bother me. My hints were falling on deaf ears. Why was the penny so long in dropping? Short of putting spoonfuls from the rat poison jar into her bedtime drink right in front of her eyes, I could hardly make my little plot clearer. I was beginning to think that something had gone wrong. But all that was forgotten when Marjorie brought back my hearing aid, fully repaired, as good as new.
Here you are, dear. How's that?
Oh.
Is that any better?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's much better, dear. Thank you. Now I can get rid of that awful old trumpet.
Whoever can that be? Hi, Mrs. Wenbury Jones. How nice to see you.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Thank you. Ah. I wanted to have a word with you, Miss Thornton, about the Residents Association.
Of course, I've been expecting you. Do come in.
Well, it was your idea all along, wasn't it?
We tried to do our bit. Do sit down.
Oh, thank you. Well, to tell you the truth, when you first mentioned it to me, I didn't take much notice. It suddenly struck me afterwards what a super idea it was.
That's very kind of you.
Oh, not at all. Because, of course, up to now, we've not had so much as a regular coffee morning or a bridge party even.
Sorry?
Well, I mean, there's nothing to invite newcomers to the flats to help them meet people and find their feet. Nothing at all. High-rise blocks can be such lonely places, you know.
Really?
Anyway, that's when I remembered your clever idea, Marjorie. You'll be delighted to hear that it's working out splendidly. We've got support from every floor. Mrs. Huddleston Frumpton says now she's given up the literary guild, she doesn't know what to do with herself, and what a good idea. And Mrs. Lumsby Smythe has come up trumps with one of her Battenbergs. So I thought we could all rally round, have a little housewarming, just coffee and cakes for Mr. Patel and the little girl, right next door to you here at Mrs. Young's tomorrow morning. So I thought I'd just pop round and let you know how successful your idea has been. Well, I know you'd want to be involved.
Oh, yes, of course. A welcome party.
Yes, that's right.
Mrs. Huddleston Frumpton, you say?
Yes, she was thrilled to help. Of course, she has worked for Oxfam for years, you know.
Of course.
Well, it is very kind of you to ask us, Mrs. Wembridge-Jones, but I think you ought to know that Marjorie has rather old-fashioned ideas on visitors from overseas.
Don't exaggerate.
She's very likely to forget herself and say something we'd all be sorry for.
Really, Doctor.
Oh, dear. Surely not.
We wouldn't want to spoil the occasion, would we?
You mustn't take any notice of my sister. She's not been well.
Oh, that's quite all right. I do understand. Well, now, I've taken up too much of your time already. Well, so nice to meet you again, ladies. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. So nice to have seen you. You must come round again. I suppose you think that was very clever.
Well, as you said, we must think of our reputation.
All this is bringing on my migraine. I knew it would. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but the dinner will have to wait. I can't face the vegetables just now.
Well, I'm really not hungry.
And I was going to cook your favourite casserole.
No, a tin of soup would be fine.
You need more than soup, Dorothy, if you're to keep up your strength. You need a square meal.
Whatever you say, Marjorie.
So, I'll make a start on the dinner, then. And I think I'll make a nice pie. Perhaps a nice blackcurrant and apple pie. And I'll get the bedtime drinks tonight.
I should have guessed then that Marjorie was up to something. But it wasn't until the next day, at the time of the little party for Sona and her father, that I realized what it was. And by then, it was too late.
No one organized coffee mornings for us when we moved in, did they? That's what annoys me. Oh, just listen to them all out there. Of course, I knew attitudes would change in time. I'm really very pleased for them. No, really, I am, Dorothy. They seem a cut above your usual darky. With breeding, if you know what I mean. Of course, India was part of the British Empire, remember? Oh, goodness. That's Mrs. Huddleston Frumpton. You know, she's standing for the council. That sounds like Mrs. Lumsby Smythe. She's a personal friend of the mayoress. Oh, even Mr. Hammond's going. Everybody's going except us.
Well, since we're not invited, why don't we have a cup of tea on our own?
Yes, we might as well. I'll get it.
I wouldn't mind a piece of your pie, dear. You did make one, didn't you?
There isn't any left, I'm afraid. What? I gave it to the party next door.
Oh, well, that was nice of you.
Well, I said it was a contribution from us to the coffee morning, with a little note with our best wishes, saying how sorry we were that you weren't well enough to attend. Well, I thought it was the least I could do, to make amends.
Oh, thank you, Marjorie. I'm very pleased. Perhaps everything will be all right after all.
Well, maybe I have been a little hasty. I can see that now.
What sort of pie was it, dear, that you gave them next door?
Blackcurrant and apple, dear.
It's a bit early for blackcurrants, isn't it?
I used a substitute.
A substitute?
Where are you going, dear?
No. Oh, the jar. The jar. It's empty.
Oh, of course it is.
But then you knew all along.
Of course I knew. You don't think I'd leave rat poison around with you in your state of mind, do you? As soon as I saw that jar, I poured the contents down the sink immediately.
Yeah, but what was in the rat poison jar, then?
There was an old bottle of Aunt Mabel's blackcurrant cordial at the back of the cupboard. I simply filled up your rat poison jar with Mabel's cordial, that's all. And that's what you've been putting in my bedtime drink.
Marjorie, there's been a terrible mistake. You see, I wasn't really trying to poison you, only to frighten you. And it wasn't really rat poison in that jar at all. What you poured down the sink wasn't rat poison. That was Mabel's cordial. I put it in there myself as soon as Mrs. Young gave me the jar of poison.
You mean
I poured the real black currant down the sink.
Yes.
Then what was in Mabel's jar of cordial? You didn't...
Yes, put... I did. I thought the poison would be quite safe there.
Oh, my God. And I put it back in the original jar. I've been poisoned. But
Marjorie, the pie. You used up half the stuff in the pie.
I'm sick.
Do you think they've eaten it? Oh, Marjorie, phone the hospital, quick.
I'm going to be sick.
You come in, Dorothy. So pleased you were well enough to come after all.
Mrs. Young, I must speak to you.
Mr. Patel.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Miss Thornton. Sona has told me such a lot about you.
Mrs. Young, Marjorie's pie.
Your pie was lovely.
What is it all gone?
Oh, every little bit, dear.
It was really very kind.
Dorothy?
Of you.
Are you all right, dear?
She's looking quite ill.
Dorothy, what's the matter?
She's trying to say something.
What is it, dear?
How long does rat poison take to work?
Dorothy, what's this about poison?
The pie, your rat poison.
The stuff I gave you?
Yes.
You put it into the pie?
Well, Marjorie did, by accident.
My goodness, the corridor's full of ambulance men.
They're going into Dorothy's flat.
What's those funny things they're carrying?
Stomach pumps for everybody.
Dorothy, it's all right. It was quite harmless. Just sugar and water and a bit of colouring. It's something they teach you in nursing. Never give anything dangerous like that to old people. It can be a temptation, you know. I couldn't have refused, though, could I? You'd have been offended. Let's tell poor Marjorie before they rush her off to hospital.
No.
Just a moment. Let's leave Marjorie in suspense for a little.
Dot, you can't do that.
Hello? Is everyone all right? What's going on up here?
It's the ambulance man, dear. What are we going to tell him?
All in all, once the excitement had died down, it was a great success.
Yes, I was really very pleased.
She's such a sweet little girl, isn't she? Mm-hmm. And he's a real gentleman. Mr. Hammond and he got on especially well. Did you hear them, dear? They were even talking of playing together. Mr. Hammond's flute and Mr. Patel's sitar. Can you imagine? Musical evenings at Acacia Court. Everyone was quite thrilled at the idea.
Oh, I think it'll be quite lovely.
I do hope you'll be able to come.
I'm looking forward to it already. And I expect Marjorie will come too, when she gets out of hospital.
I do think you're dreadful, Dorothy.
Now, you promised. Not a word. I went to see Marjorie in hospital, of course. I told her just the same as we told the ambulance men, that the poison pie hadn't been touched, thank God, so she was the only victim. They only kept her in hospital a day or two. Couldn't find anything wrong with her. But she came back to Acacia Court fully convinced she'd been at death's door and continued to suffer terrible stomach pains for weeks after. Somehow I never had the heart to tell her the truth. You see, in hospital we made a truce. No more was to be said about her leaving and buying a flat on her own, but I was to have certain privileges too. Sona started at the local school now. And every afternoon, when she comes home from school, she stays with me until her father collects her. Sometimes I help her with her homework, and sometimes she reads to me. And then when Marjorie gets in, there are fresh supplies of cherry cake and even cola. Of course, I can't take the place of her mother, but I fancy I'd pass for an auntie well enough. I'm no longer Miss Salton, you see. Sona calls me Marcy. That means aunt in her language, so I'm Dorothy Marcy now. I feel quite important, especially as her mother won't be back, I'm afraid. Poor father will have to manage by himself. You see, his family have never forgiven him for marrying an English woman. It's very sad. But now she has an aunt to look after her, there are no more fears of Sona being taken into care. Dorothy Marcy would never allow it. And how about Marjorie, you're probably wondering.
I can't really say I was surprised. Nothing from you would surprise me any more, Dorothy. You're not well in the head, dear. I blame myself for allowing you to sit there all day. You do, don't you? You sit there in a world of your own. I should have made sure that you had a radio on at least. the home service. That would stop you getting ideas, wouldn't it? But no, I've been too indulgent. And this is how it ends. Rat poison, indeed. I should have phoned the police and have them take you away. Only I couldn't see my own sister a branded criminal. I'm not cruel. It's not in my nature. So I've decided to forgive you. Blood's thicker than water, after all.
Did you notice? At last, Marjorie has bought me a hearing aid with an adjustable volume control. It's part of our bargain. I can sit now with my bad ear turned to Marjorie, the volume turned right down, and with my good ear turned to the window, to a whole world of peasant sounds. The little pianist on the 10th floor makes good progress. I've grown quite fond of Claire de Lune. And on some evenings, there's a new musical experience altogether. You'd hardly believe it. The surface, things at Acacia Court have changed, and for the better.
In Colourblind by Brian Ashby, the part of Dorothy was played by Mary Wimbush and Marjorie by Rachel Kempson. Sona was Sona Vias, her father Minu Golvala, Mrs. Young, Fiona Walker, Mrs. Wenbury-Jones, Carol Boyd, and Mrs. Huddleston-Frumpton, Izan Churchman. Mrs. Lumsby-Smythe and the telephonist were played by Pauline Siddle, Captain Roberts and Mr. Hammond by Brett Usher, and the Ratcatcher and Ambulance Man by Richard Hugh. The play was directed by Penny Gold. Mm-hmm.